From the largest bird of prey, the Andean condor, to the smallest, the pygmy falconets, raptors have fascinated us for hundreds of years. In the past, they were used for hunting, but today you're more likely to experience them at a bird of prey centre, where you can watch them being flown and learn more about their feeding and mating habits close up. Jeff Dalton is a professional falconer at the Cotswold Falconry Centre in Batsford Park near Cheltenham, and he believes that these beautiful birds are very misunderstood.
It's amazing how people think the birds of prey are good at flying. Well, actually, in truth, is they're lousy at it. And the other thing they think they like killing. Well, birds of prey don't kill for the sake of killing. They only go hunting when they need the food. Whenever you look at a bird of prey, and it doesn't matter where you see it, they automatically have to fall into one of three categories. They're either fed up, hence the term, that's where the word comes from. It's an old falconry word, fed up. Doesn't mean there's nothing good on the telly. It's a falconry term describing a bird of prey which is physically over a certain body weight because he's eaten a good food and he's got a bulging crop of food. So he sits there looking rather fed up. But a fed up bird of prey is actually a happy bird of prey because they spend most of their life sitting around doing absolutely nothing, fed up. Then the birds get a bit lighter, they come down opportunity weight, where they take the opportunity of riding a therm or an updraft, because they're not very good at flying, they have to use the elements. And then, of course, there is the hunting weight, where the bird now has got no more food left in his crop, so he's aerodynamically in better profile, because he hasn't got a bulging crop, he's lighter, his buoyancy is better, so therefore he's actually better at hunting.
So what sort of food are they going to go for when they're opportunity weight?
Well, they always go for the easy option, every time. They spend most of their life opportunity just looking out for the easy opportunity, and there's nothing easier than carrion. Birds of prey are extremely intelligent, bone idle, and they find the easiest way of doing everything. So most of them, rather than kill, will look for carrion. Number one is carrion. If there's no carrion around, then they will go and hunt, and it's surprising what they can hunt. And of course they can kill, but when they do kill something, they kill it very dramatically. And even when they're flying, they look so dramatic, but it's only short bursts. There's no sustainable flight.
And if they're hunting weight and they do want to go off and kill something, what kind of things are they going to aim for?
Oh, when we take them out hunting, as in the sport of the art of falconry, they're mostly a hawk, it's rabbits. If you're hunting with a falcon, you'll be going for rooks and crows, magpies and the corvids, as well as grouse, partridge and pheasant. It's about setting up dramatic chases, bearing in mind that falconry today is not a necessity of getting food now. Falconry is really carried out by frustrated bird watchers. You could spend a lifetime in the field hoping to see a falcon come screaming down at over 150 miles an hour, doing barrel rolls in the air, trying to line up with the back of its quarry. And so what we do is we go out in the field with our dogs. Our dogs will go on point to tell us there's a pheasant, partridge or grouse there. Then we take all the equipment off the falcon. The falcon then climbs to a good height. He needs to get height because he's not strong enough to hit his prey hard to kill it instantly in one blow unless he gets height. Height equals speed. They use gravity. So when he comes whizzing down, he can then, with the ball of his feet, strike his prey. But what we do, as opposed in the wild, we tend to let the falcon get nice and high in the sky, and we wait until the falcons begin to drift off or in a very bad position, i.e. with the wind up his tail, or in a bad position to catch the prey, because we don't want to catch it. Then we ask the dog to push the quarry out, and then the falcon's really got to turn it all on to try and catch that prey, so that way we see more dramatic flying. When he catches his prey, that's normally an anticlimax to seeing the quarry getting away, twisting and turning, with a falcon up its backside, trying to twist and turn with it. It's a dramatic sight. And out in the woods, when we're hunting with the hawks, what we do is, if the hawk previously caught the rabbit, we'll step back another 50 yards. So next time another rabbit comes out, we can get a greater chase. Don't get me wrong, we like to catch one in 10 of our attempts because that keeps the bird believing he can catch them. And I've got no qualms about it. Doing no more than happens naturally in the wild, and the food will never be wasted. And the kills are nearly always very clean. So it's about seeing dramatic chases. So we're always trying to miss nine. And then if he's missed them, then we give him an easier one. If he catches the next one, we make it harder and harder until he's missed nine. Then we go back and give him an easy one again. And so the average day's hunting, we catch nothing, but nearly every other day we catch something.
From the Cotswold Falconry Centre, that's Jeff Dalton.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.